As the clock runs down on the presidential race, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are both campaigning today in the key states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. And here are some interesting facts. Minnesota hasn't voted for a Republican since 1972, but the last election there, Hillary Clinton's victory was razor thin. She won by just 44,000 votes. And in the neighboring Wisconsin, President Trump won by only 23,000 votes.
And look what's going on in Texas. The state has already collected more votes this year than it did in 2016. And with a flood of ballots coming in, the question in some key states is, will they all be counted? Just last night, a federal appeals court ruled that any late arriving absentee ballots in Minnesota must be separated out in case another court rules they can be counted. They can't be counted after Election Day. Nearly 400,000 requested ballots in Minnesota haven't been turned in yet. Let's bring in our political roundtable. Jesse Holland is a host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal, and Beth Fooey is senior politics editor at NBC News. Both are on a Skype line, and welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And at dueling events in Florida yesterday, Trump and Biden criticized each other's handling of the coronavirus. Trump said Biden would shut down the country again.
There will be no school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgivings, no Christmases, no 4th of Julys. There will be nothing. They will allow you nothing. Other than that, he's doing a wonderful job.
And Biden said this.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
Beth, what's your take on how both men are approaching the final days of the campaign?
Well, President Trump is on the wrong side of public opinion on this one. Poll after poll after poll shows that this is the number one issue for most voters. Voters are very worried about getting sick. They're worried about their friends or family getting sick. They feel that President Trump has not been a responsible steward of this crisis. And that's what's weighing him down, quite frankly, Peter. Had he taken a responsible approach to this last February, March, when it was first coming to this country and stepped forward and said he was a wartime president, that he would manage this like a war. He would marshal the resources of the federal government to fight this virus. If he put on a mask, if he encouraged people to wear a mask, he would probably be cruising to reelection right now. In fact, he took the opposite approach, and that is why polling across the country is showing him struggling.
Well, and Jesse, what do you think about that? Because the worst coronavirus outbreak in the country right now is right there in the upper Midwest, where both men really need to win.
One of the things that we're seeing here is a completely two different opposite ways of trying to win the presidency. President Trump is trying to win the presidency by actually campaigning against his own time as president. He's saying he's still saying he's going to make America great. He's still saying that if Joe Biden is elected, America will continue the way it is right now during its presidency, with people out of work, with people getting sick from the coronavirus. Joe Biden is trying to win the presidency by saying he is going to do the exact opposite of what President Trump is doing. He's going to work with the scientists. He's going to work against the virus. He's not going to go out on his own and try to make the American people feel better by just saying things are better. He's actually going to do things. So we see one candidate trying to run against the things that happened while he was in office, and another candidate running to change the things that happened while his opponent was in office. The question is, as always with these elections, who turns out on election day? Who's voting before the election day, and how and whether those votes will be counted?
Yeah, I'm hearing what both of you all are saying, Jesse and Beth. I want to ask you, though, I want to parse out more the ground game of both of these candidates, along with the things that they're saying. So The Atlantic has an article today about how President Trump could actually win Minnesota because he has a door-knocking campaign there despite the pandemic, as well as micro-targeting Latino voters in key states. And Politico reports how some Democrats in Florida, for instance, have been tearing their hair out trying to get Biden folks to actually door-knock there, which he hasn't done in part because of the pandemic. Beth, will this be what we'll be talking about on Wednesday if Trump wins, for instance?
So the Biden campaign made a strategic calculation early on that in these days of coronavirus and people staying in their homes and not venturing out much, the last thing they want is a stranger knocking on their door to talk to them about politics. Now, that approach changed a little bit in the last, I'd say, you know, 5-6 weeks. There has been a little bit more sort of traditional door-to-door canvassing by the Biden team, but they are really largely abiding by that first principle that this is just not a year where people want strangers showing up at the door. And yeah, so we'll see whether this was the right calculation on the Biden parts campaign. I mean, obviously, President Trump wants to downplay the virus, has said it's going away, that it's not that serious. If you get it, you're going to recover. So, you know, it's very much in keeping with that message that the campaign is deploying all these door knockers. You know, we're in uncharted territory here. Traditionally, yeah. A good ground game does can make up a point or two in a mm-hmm. in a closely fought race. And we will see what happens this time.
Jesse, I want to talk to you for a second about this targeting and micro-targeting. So the pandemic, as we know, has disproportionately hit Black Americans. The recession has disproportionately hit working women. There's social unrest that President Trump is exploiting. And Biden has this inconsistent history with both groups. Where are Black voters and women in the final days? Of course, knowing they're not a monolith.
Here's the thing that a lot of us who follow politics are not taking into account as we come to the last days. A large population of the voting Americans out there have already voted. Mm-hmm. So if you were waiting for the last 2 days or the last 5 days of the election to start your micro-targeting campaign, you've mm-hmm. missed more than, 50, 60 million voters already, people who've already gone to the ballots. And we've seen that targeting. We've seen the targeting aimed toward African Americans. Well, a lot of African Americans have already voted. If people are waiting to do their dirty tricks on the day of the election, they're going to miss the population that's normally targeted for those dirty tricks, because the African American voters, a lot of them have already voted in Georgia, in Texas, in Mississippi, all around the South. Those populations, and including in the big urban centers, they've been standing in line for days to get their votes out before they get targeted by those dirty tricks in the elections. So I don't know how much these last second appeals by even Joe Biden or President Trump is going to make a difference in those populations, because mm-hmm. a lot of them have already voted.
Jesse, you say dirty tricks. It makes me wonder if you see security issues at polling places affecting the vote at all.
Well, one of the things that we've seen, and I actually had a caller talk about this on C-SPAN a couple of weeks ago, that when he got ready to vote, they were insisting that they had to take his temperature before he voted. So some of the things that might seem reasonable in a pandemic also could be ways to tamp down the voting population. So we know that a lot of voters are being targeted on social media. We know that in some states they have people talking about they're going to be there with guns on voting day to monitor the population. So we've seen conversations about a lot of this, but we've also seen a lot of voting populations show up and vote early, so they won't even be affected by these things. And I think that's going to be a wave of the future where people don't wait for Election Day, and that'll make it harder for their vote to be suppressed.
Hmm. Beth, I mentioned at the top that some votes that come in a little bit late may not end up even being counted. There's an ongoing fight over absentee ballots in Minnesota, also in Pennsylvania, of course. What kind of conflict ahead do you see there after November 3rd?
Yeah, the Supreme Court has weighed in on a number of states' rules around this. And they've, you know, on the one hand, let mail-in voting continue counting of mail-in ballots continue after November 3rd in some states. In others, they've seemed to have put the brakes on. It really depends on how close this is. I mean, we could face a scenario where the vote is so close that we are waiting for mail-in balloting in battleground states across the country. And that definitely portends a very close race, and those mail-in ballots are going to matter a lot. But there's a chance, as Jesse said, because of this enormous early turnout and what we're expecting to be a very large turnout on Election Day as well, that these mail-in ballots will not be determinative of the winner of the election. But if things look close on Tuesday, states like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, their mail-in ballots really could make a difference.
Yeah, and kind of delve into that a little bit. I mean, people are thinking, okay, so what states should I be watching on election night, knowing that it could take quite a while before we actually get the results? What are some key states that you will really be focused on, including the ones you just mentioned?
So the number one state to be focused on is Florida. They their polling places closed fairly early, and they also have a very long history of dealing with mail-in ballots. They count them very quickly. So we will get a sense of how the direction that Florida has gone fairly early in the evening. And Florida will tell us a lot. It would be very hard for President Trump to win if he loses Florida. Joe Biden can continue on, and there's other paths to 270 for him should he lose Florida. But if President Trump loses Florida, it is going to be a hard march for him.
Yeah. That's Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. And Jesse Holland is a host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you.